flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
B. Bishop Finley, high noon in the District of Columbia. Excited to get on the Rude Guest Hotline here and talk to our friend, Mr. Joe Theismann. Joe T., obviously you care about the Burgundy and Gold in a serious, significant way. You played for the organization, won Super Bowls here. How do you balance what really was a tough game yesterday with what really was a great season?
I think that's, you know, really the way you have to look at it. By the way, good morning, B. Mitch. Good morning, JP.
What's up, man?
Hey, how are you, Joe?
If you look back at the season, there were a lot of games there that could have gone either way for us. I thought this team grew an awful lot through the course of the year. I think it matured. I think Jaden certainly, you know, matured as the season went on and will continue to grow at the position. And I think he'll be an outstanding, you know, a star in our league going forward, as other members of the team will be. I think there's, you know, going to be an evaluation from guys that have contributed tremendously that are a little bit older. We've got a lot of cap room as far as being able to acquire free agents. And, you know, we won the two playoff games by not making mistakes. And you can slice these games up any way you want, but if you don't make major mistakes, if you don't make the mistakes, your chances of winning go up. But, you know, we gave Philadelphia too many short fields, too many opportunities to be able to put points on the board. That's really, when you look at this game, that was the reason why we lost. But I don't think you can look at this game and say, well, you know, the season was a disappointment. Not at all. This was an incredible football season for the Commanders, for the players, for the organization, and more importantly, even for the fans to really, really get on board and have hope and optimism, true hope and true optimism for this team going forward.
Joe, you know, like fans, they basically get the mindset that, you know, my team's going to win every time, which we know is not true. And I've always said you have to learn how to win. And the Eagles have been to this point, you know. They have a team that's ready to compete at all levels. Washington doesn't, and I think this they can learn a lot from this game because, you know, you had guys that you were going to depend on for the rest of their career that didn't make mistakes a lot. And I think once you have familiarity with that game, it doesn't become big for you. And they'll start to win when they learn how to win.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think they did a little bit of that, right, during the course of the year. You know, going up to Detroit and winning, you know, winning that football game, I think made a world of difference to this football team. Going down to Tampa and being able to, you know, win down there. So, you know, we've won on the road, won two big games on the road. You played in the division and won games. You know, Philadelphia, you know, they beat us 2-1 through the course of the year. You know, Jalen Hurts is healthy. Saquon is something to deal with. The real gut punch really came on the first Philadelphia play.
Yeah.
And I've talked about it all week, and I know we've talked about it. You have to tackle him. You're not going to body block him. I mean, you have to just go stick your head in and try and tackle him and then wait for help. Tackle him, hold on, and wait for somebody to come and help you. You know, if he gains 30 year on that particular play, it's different than going 60.
Yep.
I mean, this is what he has done all year long, and that's going to be Kansas City's challenge, is how do you contain and stop the big burst, the big run? Because they're going to put people around the line of scrimmage. They don't care. You know, they're going to put them there, and they're going to come, and they're going to go after Hurts. They're going to make Hurts throw the football, going to make the receivers catch the ball. And for us, though, it was, you know, you put that huge drive together, and all of a sudden, then it's wiped out in an instant. I think that, you know, was a gut punch for us initially. We recovered well, but then you just can't make those kind of mistakes and hope to win football games. Not against good football teams.
Totally.
I'm with you. I mean, and Joe, I don't know if you thought this, but every fumble seemed to be worse than the one before it. Like Diami, early fumble, all right, that's a bummer. Then McNichols turns it over right after they score, and they score again, and that's a killer. And then Eckler late. Jaden had just gone on that touchdown drive. Seemed like they had something going. He had the wild, beautiful pass to get the two-point conversion, and then Eckler puts it on the ground. And it just everyone seemed to snowball.
And each one of the guys just, you know, I mean, they were trying so hard. He ran all the way across the football field trying to turn it up a little bit, get a little bit more yardage. I always think of this. When you catch a ball in the middle of the football field, the first person that comes to my mind is Marvin Harrison. Very seldom are you going to catch the ball in the middle of the football field and be able to gain many more yards. You know what Marvin used to do? He'd slide down.
Mm-hmm.
No chance for anybody to strip the ball from you.
Yeah.
You've got the yards you need to get. And you know, the chance of a fumble are minute by anything. But, you know, the more you fight, the more you work, and the way these guys punch the ball out now, if you get two people around you, the ball's got to be held on to. I mean, he had the ball in the right hand. He had it outside. They just, you know, they made a great play. On the kickoff, I don't even know why guys return kicks anymore. But the percentage of guys that get past the 30-yard line is minimal. Just catch the ball or let it go in the end zone. Make sure it goes to the end zone. We start at the 30-yard line. I mean, they wanted, you know, to me it looks like the league wants to eliminate the kickoff completely. Well, accommodate them. The amount of kickoffs that were returned for big yardage are so far and few between. The ones that are returned for touchdowns are even less than that. But hey, I don't fault the effort. I don't fault the try. It was, you know, just, you know, running into people, a lot of people, and then of course, you know, Austin just was trying to get up and make a play. And anytime a guy is trying to get up, and if he makes the catch and he slips and he's trying to get up, that's probably the most vulnerable ball carrier in football, because you don't have your balance. You're using probably one hand to try and help you get up. You don't have the ball protected, and we saw what happened.
Yeah, totally, totally. We're talking with our friend Joe Theismann here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Of course, you can follow Joe T at Theismann7. Joe, it's fascinating to think about the NFL. Think about a guy like Dan Marino, who was just so on fire as a rookie early in his career, and then he never got back to a Super Bowl. With Washington, it feels like this is the door opening to what could be a hell of a run here for a while. What do you think they need to kind of focus on and build to keep this thing going? There's obviously going to be turnover. There's turnover every year in the NFL.
Yeah, and you've got age as a factor for our football team, too. Bobby's not any younger. Zach's not any younger. You know, you're, you're, you know, you take a look at the offensive line. To me, the offensive line is always an area where you can add people. You know, you add. I think that may be, you know, that may be where Adam's gonna look. I don't know if that would be number one, but I think you have to take into consideration your offensive line, your linebacking position. Those are two that I think will be critical from additions. And let's really, as incredibly captivating as this year was, before we go out and say, well, you know, it is a great foundation. It's a great foundation for Jade to be able to build on and the offense to build on. You know, Brian's a young running back. Your quarterback is a young guy. Your wide receivers are pretty young. But look at the way we won those last five games, last six games. Mm-hmm. I mean, we fought tooth and nail all the way to the end of those games. There wasn't a game where we had a 14-point lead with 3 minutes. There wasn't a Detroit Lion game,
right,
in those final games. So, you know, foundationally, I believe we've got pieces in place to be able to lay a good foundation. Now the question is, will those games go the other way next year? The final play games that we saw. But I think this team has built confidence in what it can accomplish. It was a fantastic year. It was fantastic for the fans. It was heart-wrenching here in this loss. But, you know, Philadelphia isn't going to get any weaker from what I can see. So, you have to look at them right now and say, okay, you got to assume that the Cowboys probably will be better than they were a year. The Giants you don't know about, so... But for us, I really think you sit down and look and say, okay, where do we add our pieces? Where do we add the pieces to give us a chance to be able to build and go forward? And the offense will be a little different, too, because Jaden will be able to grow in it with Cliff. I don't believe Cliff's leaving to go anywhere, I think, which is great. I mean, we saw with Ben
unlikely.
Johnson up in Detroit.
Yeah. Right.
It does. We saw it up in Detroit. Ben Johnson stayed this year in Detroit. Did not take a head coaching job last year simply because he believed that this football team was going to be in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He believed the Detroit Lions were going to be there. And all year they played like they would.
Yeah, I agree with you. Go ahead.
I think Cliff is, Cliff has really laid a foundation in this offense where it can only grow and get better.
Yeah, I totally agree with you about the offensive line. I think also the defensive line because, you know, being a skill position guy, I think if you got better offensive linemen, better defensive linemen, your team has the ability to be more consistent. And I think
I agree.
Consistency 100%. Hurts this team. And if they get more consistent, then people have problems.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think our offensive line acquitted themselves really, really well all year. I mean, those guys fought and played hard. And you know, when you look at the teams that get into the championship games, okay, the offensive line of the Kansas City Chiefs, they made one move out their left tackle, and it made them stronger. The Bills, most of their guys played together most of the year. Philadelphia's offensive line has been very consistent, albeit the center. I mean, you know, their center position was a little in flux, but, you know, you've got the guards on the sides to help out as far as that goes. And of course, you know, like I say, our guys, they fought their hearts out, man. I'm so proud of this football team. I'm so proud of the way they played, the class they played with, the execution, you know, makes you proud to be a Washington football guy.
Joe, when the season ended for you, you know, how long did you stay away? I know I talked with Darryl Green, I talked with Art Monk, and they would tell me stuff. But as a quarterback, you all are it drains you mentally during the season. How long do you stay away from it before you get back into preparing for the next year?
Well, I mean, you know, going to 2 Super Bowls in a row. You know, you're going to take the first one you win, and it's like, you know, the whole world's a bowl of cherries. I mean, it's unbelievable. Uh-huh. Opportunities all over the place, so you stay busy. Mentally, I think you need some time, you know, maybe a month. But I got right back through. Jay Bernetti and I used to get out right at the end of the season. I'd take 3 weeks, a month. Well, I'd be right back out throwing in February. I'd be back out at the park, working on my game, trying to get better, thinking about the things that I've done, looking at the film. You know, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Could you have made a better decision here? You know, to beat yourself up doesn't accomplish anything. But to study film and grow from it gives you a chance to improve your abilities. And so for me, I think nowadays it's different. I mean, you know, we played 14 games when I got in the league. Then we went to 16 games. Right. And then, we actually wound up playing 18, 19 games in the Super Bowl. But I think you need to really take a step away a little bit, spend some time with your family, spend some time with yourself, and sort of recharge a little bit, and then work yourself into it as opposed to jumping in with both feet again, because it's a long grind. It's a grind. I mean, you get tired at this point. The older guys, older guys especially, we're worn out. I agree with you, JP. Listen, emotionally, we're spent.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I sat last night in that chair after that game was over, and I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to get up. I just sat and sort of reflected on, which wasn't really hard to reflect on, the things that, you know, we did to lose the football game.
Yeah.
I
would take that. As soon as the season ended, it was like Gil and my buddy Corey, we would go to Vegas, and I tell him, I say, 4 days, don't mention football to me at all.
That's right.
and we would just enjoy ourselves, just have fun. No football.
Don't
we
you
just
dare.
4 days, it was great.
I bet, man. You gotta unplug it a little. At some point, it's probably going to be after the Super Bowl now, but there's going to be a couple days off to all my bosses somewhere. Joe, I'm curious if you landed the same spot Brian and I kind of did, specific to yesterday's game. I hate the final score because it makes it look a lot more one-sided than it necessarily was. Not that Philly wasn't in control, but it wasn't a 30-point drubbing most of that game.
Right.
But the way I saw that yesterday, I didn't think the refs were very good. I think the turnovers were way worse, but ultimately I think Philly was the better team, and they leaned on depth and experience in that game where they were just better, bigger, faster, stronger, and that's now Washington sees where they need to get to.
Well, you know, JP, it's interesting. conceptually, they present a problem because you know Saquon can break one anytime, and you know he can run the football. I think he might have tweaked a, you know, 2 weeks off is going to help him. I think he might have tweaked the calf yesterday too.
Yeah,
because you know he was. I think he had a little bit of a flat tire there as that game went on because we didn't see him quite as much.
He only had 15 carries.
Yeah, he kept working on his calf, so it was something.
Yeah, they spotted him really. But then on the other side is you've got Goddard, you've got Smith, and you've got Brown. You can't afford to go one-on-one with A.J. Brown. I don't care. You know, Marshawn's a big – he's a big corner. But still, he's so physical. And what bothered me about the personal foul that we got, it should have been offsetting penalties.
Totally.
Because he rips his helmet off, and all of a sudden they give us the penalty? I mean, both of them were in each other's face. But nine times out of ten, you see a call go offsetting penalties.
Yeah,
I was shocked that we just got that one. That one bothered me a lot. But I think Philly's a very balanced football team. And when Jalen Hurts has the opportunity to be able to run, you know, like he did on the quarterback draws, just picking and choosing his direction. Because it's the one you're not going to spy him. Okay, you're going to spy Jaden, but you're not going to spy Jalen. And it makes sense too, because he runs somewhat infrequently. It's the same thing with Patrick Mahomes. You're not going to spy him. He had close to 50 yards rushing yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's an advantage for that team to have his mobility and his ability to add another weapon. So you've got the running back, you've got tight end, two wide receivers, and a quarterback that can just pick his way in key situations. It's a tough offense to defend.
Yes.
Be very curious to see what Spags is going to do with them. You know, they've danced this dance before, but I'd be very curious to see what Spags is going to do with them. I just felt like against Buffalo, he was going to bring pressure. He was going to bring pressure, and, you know, but Kincaid had an opportunity to make a play. You know, these games boil down to making plays.
Totally.
Three plays minimum, four probably max, in games like this determine the outcome of the football game.
Yep.
You know, I know Josh Allen's a big guy, but you keep running that same sneak. Hey, Chris Jones is no midget, okay?
Those guys
in the interior of the Kansas City Chiefs are not small people, okay? And I know Josh is a big guy, and, you know, what bothered me in that game was the one line judge had the ball spotted in one place, the other judge had it spotted short of the line to gain, and they went with the short guy. you know, I'm a big proponent of putting a chip in a ball. I think that's the next thing we're going to see in technology.
It seems so simple.
It may work out better, I'll tell you that.
It has to.
If they can read your easy pass going 70, how come you can't put a chip in a football and figure this thing out?
70? Sometimes I go through it faster than that. I hate to say it out loud.
Gee,
Joe, while I got you, man, what do you think about Eagles-Chiefs? Chiefs going for a three-peat would be completely unprecedented.
It is unprecedented, but just the fact that they've been to so many in the last 5 years, they've been to so many of them. I think that they're a very diverse offense right now, and defensively, they found themselves. Last year, prior to last year, I felt like their offense carried them. Last year, I felt like their defense stepped it up a bit. This year, I feel like they're going to have a lot of people healthy. Their safeties are like linebackers. They run like corners. They hit like linebackers. I think they can match up really well physically, and I just don't see Saquon taking off and breaking the kind of plays that he did, which is going to make the Eagles work harder on offense. Certainly, I give the edge to Kansas City offensively.
Yeah.
Defensively, I think that we exposed a little bit of what Philadelphia can have done to him in just the limited opportunities that we had, and you know it wouldn't shock me one bit to see Kansas City with the three-peat. Not one bit whatsoever. I think Travis Kelce will have to be a bigger part of that game. But, you know, Philly's linebackers are pretty darn athletic, too.
Yeah,
I mean, basically, sure. You know, Buffalo took Kelce out of the game pretty much yesterday.
Yeah.
So,
And
but they have a lot of weapons on both. Yep. Each team has a lot of weapons. Yeah.
For sure. Maybe we'll circle back Super Bowl week, Joe. Maybe we'll see you in New Orleans. We appreciate you making time for us all year, man. Thank you.
You bet, you guys. Look forward to catching up. Take care.
All right, man. Take care.
Joe Theismann, simply one of the best. When we come back, we got a little bit of press conference down in Dallas where something made me laugh. I'll tell you that much. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth of the Stinky Truth Podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Stinky Truth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.